Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming up on TMS, I don't like spaghetti bolognese.
Other than the wiener one, I'm factory fresh.
Patience Rawbone was my Quaker stripper name.
Rearrangeable and mountable.
You want the tooth?
You can't handle the tooth!
Take a left turn at Green Boots.
Dr. Shobotnik.
Have you experienced cuppage?
Knees taste like chicken.
This is not the mountain I wish to die on.
I'd watch Rufus change his clothes.
Usually you're pushed.
Jane quit.
Bill can build it, but he Ninten won't.
Diapers and Concrete with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, boys, this has been real educational and all, but now let's part with that old EA Sports saying. Get the f*** out of my building.
You like the smell of fish?
The Morning Stream.
Yeah.
I'm the captain now.
All right, whatever. I don't know what happened there, but we'll just let it be. We'll just let it breathe. It's totally fine.
Yes, we'll just let that soak in.
Let it be what it's going to be. It's fine. Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday, May 23rd for The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
Hi, I'm all right. I realized that we did this already in pre-show, but I would like people to know about your cool your coin holders. You should put them on Etsy.
Put them up on like Etsy or... I still need to get my Shopify site going, but challenge coin holders. For those of you watching the stream,
here's
another awesome challenge coin featuring Scott and Brian on a lady's leg.
Ooh.
Sitting on a lady's leg named Vicky.
A very recent one, yeah.
Those are right there, and they're rearrangeable and mountable and all that
stuff. Watch for more information, everyone. We'll let you know.
That's right. These I might just make the STLs available and
let people
we'll
print
see.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you sell STLs or do you give that out? What do?
These I think I would just give out.
Okay. Well, you're feeling very generous.
I'm a nice guy.
You're a generous guy today. Yeah.
I'm a nice guy.
Just giving shit away, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Left and right.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about some stuff. I have this dental appointment today, so everything on the show today is designed to distract me from that, all right? Because I really don't want to go. I'm just not in the mood. Yep. I don't know why. I'm just irritated about it. Maybe it's because I just had one fixed, and now I'm immediately going back for a new one, and it's just annoying me. Mm-hmm. So I found something that's very distracting. This was sent to me via a listener via Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, the Twitter.
Oh, yeah, the Twitter. Which I've slowly been, I don't know about coming back to. I guess I've been kind of coming back to it, but still not posting a whole lot there. But
I'm still more weaned off than usual. I still post about the same amount, but I don't read it like I used to. I sort of stay away from my timeline.
Only read when somebody mentions me.
Yeah.
Good like idea. When they tell me to stop singing at the beginning of Film Sack.
Did they tell you to not do that?
One person says... with the abbreviation FTLOG, for the love of God.
Oh, he didn't like that. That's funny because most people like love it. Yeah.
So
there's always somebody.
My next one, I'm going to do a song. Got to figure out a good song where the lead vocalist just talks. You know, maybe it's like everyone's free to wear sunscreen, and I'll just do that one dedicated to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember his name. Let's drag him out in the public eye. So this original post came from Isabella Rosner. I don't know who she is, but she's doing some research, and she came across, according to her tweet, a lot of good 17th and 18th century Quaker names. during her research because she's working on her thesis and has something to do with U.S. history and stuff like that. Anyway, it says, now that my thesis is done and the submission is near, it's time to share more than 90 of the wildest early Quaker names I found in alphabetical order. So I found this, or she posted this list, and it's been making the rounds on the tweets. But I thought it'd be fun for us to see who we think we'd be here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's so many great names in here.
And there's a big list. So it's, I'm not going to read them all, but it's things like Babel Gibson, Broad
Constant Shield.
Yeah, that's a good one. Broadbank Plant is a good one. Comfort Cripes. I can't believe these are actual people, by the way.
Actual people's name. Hester Chester.
Yeah, Hester Chester. Eustace Cockery is pretty good.
Yeah.
Thankful Tune. There's one on here. Where is it? Something Rawbone. What's the name? Oh, really? Patience Rawbone. Pretty good. Old
Obedience
Adams.
Obedience Wearing.
Yep. That one's pretty good. I like Jane Quit. That's a name.
Oh, that's good. I like the repeating ones. Like, my favorite, I think, is Wild Wild.
Yeah, Wild Wild's pretty good. Reuben Rawbone, I related to
Reuben
Patience,
Rawbone.
I guess.
Rawbone, that's great.
Temperance Poor. Oh, man, she's a sad problem. Squire Boone. And he's great. So if you had to pick one of these, and let's say you're a Quaker, you're like, yeah, I'm doing that Quaker life, yo. What are these? Which ones do you
well,
adopt?
Well, I can tell you which one I'd pick for you. Can What's I tell that? You which one I'd pick for you?
Yeah, what would it be?
Return Towel.
Oh, no way. Return Towel. Is that real?
Return Towel.
What column is that in?
That's in the far right column, about the sixth, seventh one down.
Oh my gosh. Return Towel.
Return Towel.
But it's got the E's on it, like old shoppy.
Towel.
Yeah, towel. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you. Hold on a second.
Oh, please let it be Furley Loosevelt. Furley Loosevelt. Come on, please. Furley Loosevelt.
No, I'm going to give you... I'm trying to find a good one. I'll give you... I don't know. How about
Experience Cuppage.
Experience Cuppage, that's your name.
Experience Cuppage.
Is that a great name?
That's such a great name.
If you look about halfway, a little more than halfway down middle, there's Jesus Christ was there.
Yeah,
he was
right
a Quaker.
Above Job Bland.
Yeah,
or probably Job. It's probably Job Bland.
Probably Job Bland. Yeah. So look at him. Right, you got Genix Dry, Jesus Christ, and Job Bland. Hell of a thing. Anyway,
I can meet Jane Snowball at some point. Though.
Well, you'd have to.
Oh, is she any relation to Jane Delight?
Oh my gosh, maybe.
Yeah, but not Jane Quit, which you mentioned earlier.
Experience Cuppage, Brian. That's your new name.
Isabel Buttery.
Yep. Constant Groom is pretty good.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort Cripes, I mentioned. Corn Russell. Yeah. Corn Russell.
Corn Russell.
Yeah. Digworthy Marshall. These are great. Anyway.
Charity Nut.
A lot of these have the extra E, don't they?
They do, yeah.
That must have been a thing. Like Gay Poop.
Gay Poop.
Yep.
Gay Poopy.
Yeah. Gay Poopy.
which is just as good as Gay Poop. Yeah. Really. Maybe even better.
G-E-A or G-E-Y Poop with an E at the end. It's crazy. Poopy. Gays band. Oh, no. Gays band. Yeah, I like a good gay band. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hercules Cross. Oh, these are great. Anyway, I just thought it'd be fun to bring
Thankful
up. Thankful
Tune.
Thankful Tune. That's one of your secondary Warcraft characters you give gold to.
It is, yes, exactly.
Yeah, they're very thankful.
And what you give them to get 10 experience points.
Indeed. All right. One other thing.
Yes.
We've been talking about this. Would the cats eat us? Would the dogs eat us?
Yeah.
Would we eat the dogs? You know, all that. Somebody's
would the toddler eat us? I think was one too.
Yeah, I think the top would the 2-year old eat Brian in an elevator that was stuck for 10 years or whatever. Well, here's the deal. Somebody sent us this this bit of weirdness from this is from a listener regarding the issue of eating your humans. This influencer says she put part of her knee removed during surgery into a spaghetti bolognese and fed it to herself and her partner. Now, what makes
influencers are the worst.
They are the worst.
Can
what makes
say,
it? Let me tell you what makes it worse. This freaking photo. Because
there's a photo. Let me see.
Yeah, and all I see are knee parts. And I know that's not what all I'm looking at here.
Right. You know, all you're seeing, you know, probably a lot of beef. I guess, you know, it's a beef bolognese.
Yeah.
But yes, all you can think of is that some of those pieces of meat are not meat.
Yeah.
They are,
or these noodles meat. Here are like cartilage or something.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
a kneecap is just under the surface. Gross.
Oh, that's just a stock photo of bolognese. That's not.
Is it? It's not the real one? Okay. Good.
Yeah.
This whole time I've been just looking for bits in there. Anyway, here's how this goes. This is a Spanish 30-year-old content creator with 2 million followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She's a host of the Club 113 podcast. Never heard of it. She had part of her knee cartilage called the meniscus removed during surgery following an injury. Doctor asked her if she wanted to keep it. She said, I told him yes. First of all, what doctor ever says, can you keep it? I never had one do that with anything I had removed. Did your doctor ever do that with you? They're like, do you want to keep it?
Really, all it would have been was... I think the only part of my body that has been taken from me would have been just a few hours after I was born.
You never had a... You've never had like never a surgery or anything?
Never had a gallbladder out or a... I guess you don't have your... Well, you can have your gallbladder out, but like a...
Well, you can have your gallbladder out, yeah. You can totally take that out.
Totally have that out. As a matter of fact, April Ness...
Hers
had it
out?
Called it Galbert, and she was able to keep hers.
All right, so it's this girl, chat, and she ate part of her knee. That's gross. I couldn't do it. So what I guess what I'm saying is this isn't the same as will the baby eat us or will the dog eat us. This is someone eating themselves.
This is something I wouldn't do unless I wanted a bunch of followers and likes on TikTok/YouTube.
Ding ding ding! I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Would you?
I like her phrase. According to Gonu, people eat the bones, cartilage, and other parts of, quote, worse animals, quote, end quote. So what she did wasn't that weird, she said.
Worse animals than what?
Worse animals?
I don't understand that.
Influencer? Pretty low on the animals list.
Yeah. I tend to agree. If you, the truth is we eat like a chicken, right? And we'll tear it apart and there's like.
You will. Yes.
All the stuff and the bones and whatnot.
I had a chicken doner last night.
Yeah.
Also, chicken doner and a pita.
Do you think it's just because we were born, we saw this all the time, it never bothered us, but this would be really gross if we had never eaten a chicken before? Do you know what I mean? Like, is the only reason it's gross to eat your own knees because just culturally you just never did it, but we're okay eating a, you know, I love that.
I don't know. I mean, I think eating... I feel like eating any part of you would be gross, regardless of whether or not. Are you saying that because we've had chicken, it's gross to eat part of ourselves?
No, I'm saying.
Or like, if we'd never eaten chicken.
I guess what I'm saying, somebody came to you and said, hey, Brian, I prepared skunk for you. And you'd go,
yeah.
I don't know if I want that, or squirrel, or something else, because none of these, you know, they on the surface, you're like, that's not a thing I've eaten or would eat. Whereas chicken, you're used to it. Beef, you're used to it. Is that only reason, like, is it just that we're used to it? We get a turkey and we obliterate it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think so. I think the first time you try any meat, like sushi is great for this, right? Like having octopus the first time, like, what? I'm eating octopus? No way. Or having calamari. Oh, I'm eating squid. You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But then you have it. You know, you do the taste and you're like, oh, this isn't bad.
I don't ever
want to eat scorpion again. Thank you. That was fine the one time I did it, but I don't need it ever again.
No, you don't. You're good. You're sated on that front.
I'm totally sated.
Have you ever? So you've eaten octopus before? It's one I've never done. I can't bring myself.
I love taco, T-A-K-O taco at the sushi place.
Is it rubbery? Is it rubbery? Is it?
It's chewy. Yeah. Okay. It's if it's fresh. It's not so chewy you're not going to be able to chew through it. It's just like, it's a firm meat.
Okay. I could get used to it is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, eel. Oh my God. Shoujo. Yeah. Eel sushi. Love.
I have had eel once. I did do that. That was really good. Yeah. But I did.
And that's always cooked.
Yeah.
So,
you know. It's not raw. But it also felt like there was a moment there when I got the eel. It was probably sushi, I think, where I went, oh, I really want to eat eel. And I kind of waffled back and forth. And then I ate it and I was like, oh, that's actually really good. And now I wouldn't even think twice. I would eat eel no problem.
No problem, right?
So I guess you're right. It would just be what you're used to. Like, you know.
It's really like, exactly. Like, there are people who live in parts of the country that have had squirrel and don't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, like Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone.
Right. That's right. I've had it skinny once in Mississippi. It was good. It was just a little greasy is all. I didn't mind it though. Alligator. Gator's really good.
Oh, love gator.
Yeah. See? So anyway, I guess my point is, could I eat an e-bone? Maybe.
Yeah, so you're just right. If you had a lot of human knee, it wouldn't seem that weird to you to have some more human knee.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing. Knee. If human beings were used to eating their knee, then maybe we would be okay with it.
Right.
Anyway, exactly. I hope those views were worth it. Spanish influencer with 2 million followers.
All right. Exactly.
Let's move on to this. We get a call from this guy a lot.
That's how you get 2 million followers. I'm happy with how many I've got.
Oh, yeah. If that's the way, forget it.
Yeah, if that's the way, not worth it. It's not for me.
Exactly. All right. So we got a call from, I forgot his name again, but he'll tell us. Anyway, talking about why I was saying that when I went to the M&M and the Hershey store, it just smelled kind of sour and weird. And he has an answer.
Hey, Scott and Brian. Zinger from Wisconsin here to drop a little bit more chocolate knowledge on you. Scott, in a really recent episode, you mentioned that when you're in an area with a lot of chocolate, it smells like a diaper. So what the story with that is Hershey, when he was trying to copy the Dutch milk chocolate from Peter's, he thought they put actual milk in it. And what happens when you put milk and you warm it up, it spoils, right? So you get kind of a spoiled milk flavor. He didn't realize he was doing it wrong, but that's what he did, and that's what people started to like. So they tried to change it at one point in time and actually do milk chocolate correctly, but the market rejected it because everybody gotten so used to his spoiled milk chocolate. So now they actually add a chemical compound called butyric acid, which literally smells like baby vomit. You can talk to Bobby about this too. That'd actually be a great segment for you guys. But yeah, I just thought I'd let you know why sometimes a lot of chocolate, especially American chocolate in an area, smells like baby diapers. Have a great day.
See, it's the Hershey guy. We have him to thank.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Hershey guy.
Yeah, thanks, Hershey.
Larry
man.
Hershey.
Yeah, so I think that's just an American problem. Everyone.
I haven't noticed it, but then again, I've only been in the Las Vegas M&M store once.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, like early 2000s, late 90s, maybe. Well, probably early 2000s.
It was new.
And I said, what am I doing in here when there are craps tables nearby that don't have me standing next to
them? Yeah, this place is not for Brian. It's not for me exactly. Either. It's for kids. And that's great. But even Van made a little face when we walked in. He's like, and smell good to him.
It smells like Phoebe.
Yeah, it smells like my sister. This is gross. I'm getting out of here. Anyway, well, thanks for the clarification there, Zinger. And Zinger reminds me that my favorite, before I gave up the Shug, my favorite little sneaky treat was a Zinger.
Mm. Oh, Zingers were great.
I loved Zingers.
Sneaky treats.
So you never had like an appendicitis?
No, I still have my, still have both kidneys, gallbladder, liver. I'm doing everything I can to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Appendix. I've got everything.
You've got all the things.
I'm still factory complete.
So nobody other than voluntary, like the the wiener one, what's it called?
Yeah, circumcision.
No, the other one that you get when you
they didn't
anymore.
Take anything out. My
your snip, right?
My snip, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So other than these voluntary things like that,
I still have my tonsils.
I don't, my gosh, you are a walking. You're either a walking time bomb or you're a miracle. I don't know what.
The miracle of modern science. I did take out my wisdom teeth, or I took one of my own out, and then the dentist took the other one out.
You took one of your own wisdom teeth out?
I took one of my own wisdom teeth out. Yeah, it was impacted at Buffalo Wild Wings, and so I pulled out.
At the Wild Wings, you took it out? Oh my gosh, why are we just hearing about this? Why is this good now? This is insane.
I think Tina doesn't like me telling the story. Yeah, but it.
Gosh, dude,
broke a wisdom tooth and took out all the pieces out of Buffalo Wild Wings while we were eating. So,
damn.
So, like, all this, you know, sauce. Is that sauce or blood or whatever? No, I did it in the bathroom. But
wow, yeah. Wow, yeah. Did that hurt?
The initial breaking of the tooth hurt, but when I pulled all the roots out and stuff, it did not. It hurt less.
You were able to pull all that out. Wow.
I was able to pull all that out.
Damn, I had a doctor take my wisdom teeth out.
Like, everybody's like, what? Oh my gosh, holy crap. Yeah, Amy Redfraggles, are you insane?
Yeah, that's really something. Yeah. That tells me you have a higher tolerance of pain than I previously thought.
You'd think, right? Yet, I can't ride my bike because my leg hurts.
Well, here's hoping that your first surgery isn't your leg or your back. Let's hope for that. All right. I don't want that.
I did. I absolutely did. So Matthew Sargent asked, did you follow up with the dentist after? Completely.
Totally. Oh,
the next morning, called the dentist, got in there right away. And then he's like, yeah, okay, well, let's get the other one out. And so we made an appointment to pull the other one out.
Okay. So you have no wisdom teeth now.
Yeah. I wasn't drunk or anything, but there, you know, I did have some alcohol, and I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, that's what they used to do back in the day. Yeah. You were like, oh, I got to take your leg, Sergeant. So drink this.
Here's a swig of whiskey, and then they douse the whatever implement they're about to use on you with the rest of the whiskey, mm-hmm. and then they give you a leather belt to bite on.
Yep, I've seen so many movies, and that's all they ever do. Yeah, and then when you bite, I always say, well, wait, if you bite too hard, now you're going to have dental problems and you don't have a way to feel fix that pain either back then. Yeah. Damn, that just blows my mind. I don't know why. That just is impressive.
So enjoy your dentist visit, Mr. Scott Johnson.
My gosh, took your roots out and everything. Just nuts to me. All right. Yeah. Well done. Well, that's about all she wrote when it came to that. We're going to move on to a little bit of the Tuesday news, and it starts with this. Where's this? There it is. Yeah, that's right. The news today is brought to you by
Soundography. A brand new episode just got posted all about the band Chumbawamba. Can you name two Chumbawamba songs? The answer is probably no, because you can name Tub Thumping, and that's probably where your Chumbawamba knowledge ends. Mm. Fix that by listening to Soundography and realize that is kind of the outlier of their music. It is the one party song amongst a huge field of social commentary, protesty. I mean, God, I don't want to. It's almost like a turnoff to describe it like that. But they put out a lot of music and a lot of incredible stuff. Amnesia is the best song. Lucky Phil, you're right about that.
So anyway, Chumbawamba. Would you say it's good? Like these are good. This is good music.
Very good music. And
I'm blown away by this tube. First, I find out Brian removed a tooth, and now Chumbawamba's good. I don't know.
Chumbawamba's good. And it's funny because that one song, even though that's the song they play over and over in The Bad Place, Tub Thumping is not representative of all of their sound. So
wild. Wild.
Very, very cool. Start with, they did do a cover of Bella Chow, Jacob Grove. And if you have not watched Money Heist, what are you waiting for? Go watch Money Heist.
Well,
but go listen to A Sing Song and a Scrap. That's one of their later albums, or Wissy Wig, or ABCDFG. All those are really, really good.
Is this a band where you'd say the single kind of hosed them a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that. I feel like Aha suffered from that too. Take On Me is a great song, but it directed them down a path where everyone said, oh, that's Aha. Now I know what Aha is. I don't need any more. Mm. And the rest of their stuff is so good. It's like, oh, okay. They feel like the theme song Living Daylights or The Sun Always Shines on TV are kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess they do some different stuff. No. All their stuff is really, really good. Right. Aha is such a great band.
Well, check it out, soundography.com, if you want to learn more about Chumbawamba and their apparently good music. Blows my
good
mind.
Music.
All right, let's see what else we learned today. We got teeth coming out. We got that.
What else? What other discoveries can we make on this 2,467th episode of TMS?
Well, let's find out. How about this one? A double amputee, Gurkha veteran. I don't know what Gurkha means.
That's a kind of pickle, Scott.
It says Gurkha soldier veteran, but I don't think that's what that is.
No, it's not a Gherkin.
I can't find that part, but anyway, he's a veteran. Yeah. Lost his legs in duty, both legs and arms, or no, both legs. Just he has his arms. Anyway, he lost those in Afghanistan. Has achieved mountaineering history after reaching the very top of Mount Everest. That's a feel good story that we got here.
Eastern Indian, by the way.
Oh, Eastern Indian. All right, cool.
Yep.
Gurkhas.
Nepalese and Nepali-speaking Indian people.
Nice. I would feel safe around a Gurkha.
Yes, you would.
Harry Buddha Magar, who lives in Canterbury, Connecticut. Oh, no, Canterbury, Kent. My brain went Connecticut as soon as it saw Kent. I don't know why. I got Americanitis. Anyway, reached the summit of the world's tallest mountain at 3 p.m. on Friday, having started the climb on the 17th of April, exactly 13 years after he lost his legs after an IED explosion. While waiting 18 days at the Everest base camp for the weather to clear, the veteran and his crew faced freezing conditions and saw two dead bodies being dragged down. Yeah, Sherpa's probably doing that. Speaking to the PA news agency from the Mount Everest base camp, he said, quote, "All of my jackets were completely freezing. It was all frozen. Even our warm water, we put hot water in the thermos, and that was almost frozen as we were not able to drink." Unquote. He continued, "When I came down, I ran out of oxygen. These guys came up with oxygen. I was bumping down on my bum, and we had 30 to 40 minutes of oxygen, and we still had about 2 or 3 hours to get down."
Oh my God.
They made it, though. They did it.
That's awesome. That is, we had a friend, Brad, Tina and I knew that summited Everest and talked about all the dead bodies you see on the way up, well, and presumably on the way down, if you don't become one of them, that basically it's just too much work to try and bring them down because you've got this limited amount of oxygen and you got to conserve energy, and hauling down bodies from Everest would expend too much of that energy, so they just leave them up there.
Yeah, and I guess it's
well preserved in the frost.
I assume they're probably perfectly preserved.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you take a couple locals and you just send them up there to get them. That always seems to be the way. Like none of these people who are up there doing the climb seem to be able to bring anyone down. But then later it's like, nah, we'll send some Nepali folks up there. They'll take care of it.
Yeah,
they always do. Yeah. If I was dead on Everest, leave me there. I'm good. You don't have to bring me down. I don't want to risk anybody else's, tail coming up there.
Just
leave me up there. It's fine.
The mountain has claimed over 300 climbers in recent history, and about two-thirds of that number remain on the mountain. The current estimate of remains left behind on Everest total about 200. That is as of, what's the date of this article? March 11th, 2023.
Oh, so recent.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me think about this. How about I ask this question? Is there anything that would make you want to go to Everest?
Would a cat eat the dead body?
No. It would if the cat could survive, but I would definitely eat the cat, I can tell you that. If you could, or is that the thing you'd ever want to do? You want to go to Everest? You want to go up there?
Summit Everest? No, I'm all right. I'm all right not summiting Everest.
Same. I don't need to either.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Because
that feels like one of those things that you have a desire, that is carried with you for most of your life to do, right? You don't just all of a sudden wake up and say, you know what? Now I've decided I want to summit Everest.
Yeah.
But you do it if you want the Instagram likes. Here's my photos from Everest.
Yeah, I assume that.
Dang it, I can't get a signal up here.
Right.
Oh, it sucks.
The 5G is horrible at that height, I guess.
That's right.
I'm really curious about what makes people want to do it, though. I watch a lot of, if there's an Everest documentary, I watch them. Mm-hmm. I always see them.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're wild. And every one of them is about somebody either dying up there or almost dying up there.
Yeah.
And I just think, okay, well, now that you're down and you can talk about it, it makes for a great story. You can say you did it. It's all this amazing stuff. But man, I don't think we're meant to do that. We're not supposed to go up there.
No,
human beings reach for all sorts of stuff we shouldn't do. But that just seems like you're just asking to get killed. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I'll stay down here and have my teeth worked on. It'll be fine.
That's about it. That's about all I need. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's a guy, kind of morbid, but here, I'll give you the...
Ooh, I like morbid.
From this article. Here's one of the bodies on Everest, 1996.
Oh, yeah, look at him. Is that his body there on the side?
That's his body there on the side. They call him Green Boots because he wears green boots.
And so everybody sees him coming up, coming down.
He's like, oh, yeah, so, yeah, we passed Green Boots about 20 minutes ago, and we're headed up to base camp number 3.
Wow. I don't know. Yeah. I guess if you're a regular up there and you're always doing runs up there, which I know there are people that go up and down all the time.
Yeah.
That's how you have to look at this. You have to say, oh, it's green things. And you have to have kind of a light feeling about it. Elsewise, it's just too grim.
Oh, my God. Some of these photos are...
They're gnarly, right?
One more?
Yeah, give me one more. I'm not putting these on the chat, by the way, everybody, because I don't know who's sensitive to what. They might be oversensitive. I don't want to freak anybody out. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Wow, let's just say this one has to do with...
Canada!
Yeah. He's just wrapped in a Canadian flag. Yeah. Oh, I get one more. Okay.
Let's see what you got there.
So, yeah, these are... Oh, I guess I'll give people a link, and that way they can...
Yeah, they can decide if they want to see them. I don't know if they... Oh, but this guy that's just
sitting there?
This
one's wild because this guy looks like he just stopped to sit down.
Oh, man.
Put his hands on his knees and then just froze there in place.
It's got a little bit of the Shining vibe to it, you know?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Or Jack's out in the maze. Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's creepy.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice, nice. So, those are nice.
So good job, Gurkha veteran, Hari Buddhamagar, who got up there without having any legs.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't leave any of the rest of you up there. Glad you're still...
No kidding.
Still good.
Yeah.
Let's do a Colorado story, Brian. This is a little local to you. Southern Colorado, anyway. The admins down there are not laughing at this senior high school prank.
Oh, God.
They call it a major security concern. May 4th, 18th, 18 students. That's the number of students. Six from Woodland Park High School and 12 from Manitou High School?
Manitou, yeah.
All right. They plan to swap places at school that day.
Okay. All right.
Quote, we were just going to switch senior classes. Woodland Park would come to Manitou and act like us, and Manitou would go to Woodland Park and we would act like them, explains Nola Christensen, a Manitou Springs student who participated in the swap. We didn't mean any harm in the situation, she says.
It seems like such a harmless prank. I'm going to your classes, you're going to my classes, huh?
Yeah. So here's what happened, though. So school administrators, so this is in a statement as to what happened here. Well, a few teachers were in the loop, too, on the deal. In a statement released to News 11,
Superintendent
Chalmers, Eric Martin, said in part after hearing rumors of Woodland Park students in their school, quote, school administrators and staff members immediately did a sweep of MSHS and SILC. And the SLIC building to see if there were students on campus that should not be there. We discovered three non-MSHS students in one of our classrooms, after which they were escorted to the front office. School administrators also intercepted three additional non-MSHS students trying to enter the high school through a locked commons door. The students were told to leave campus, and they complied. All right, so this just we're just heating up here. It's heating up.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. Yeah.
After their second split, the girl who talked earlier says she ran into Woodland Park's principal. He told us, go into this room or I'm going to arrest you. You're all going to jail. We thought he was joking. Then slowly, all the rest of the kids went into that room. And when we realized he was being serious, he said that that it was a serious charge that was going to happen. And that he was going to have cops come in and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So later, about three or four cops walked in. And then that's when we all knew it was really serious. This girl's going to drive me up a tree. Anyway, they were gonna charge them all. They claimed that it was a huge security risk. I think they're just trying to teach them a lesson, right? That's all this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having people on the school grounds that aren't the students from that school, you know, how do you know that it's just harmless students doing this prank and not something more nefarious or something more dangerous? I get it, but still, like, you know, stealing the other school's mascot and putting it on top of the roof, kind of thing.
What was the worst thing you felt like? I'm trying to remember what the thing.
It was a statue or something from Pomona. Or part of their sign or something, and that the seniors put on top of the roof of our high school. And I wasn't involved with any of this. I don't care. I participated in Ditch Day because it's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Whatever.
You didn't. So you didn't do. Oh man, I feel like
I didn't
a rebel.
Do any senior pranks or anything.
This is why you don't have any operations. I'm paying for all the pranks I did.
Right. Exactly. Right. I would have done that, and next thing you know, one of my kidneys would have to be removed. Yep.
Okay. So I don't know if I told the story on the show, but toward the end of our senior year, we did two things. One, we went to a bowling alley and bowled.
Okay.
But we stole 4 bowling balls and 5 pairs of bowling shoes. It's so dumb. We took them out and we painted these. Me and my friend Dan and some others painted these bowling shoes to look like fancy loafers, like nice leather shoes.
Okay.
We did, I don't think we did a good job, but anyway, we tried to make them look nice. And then the goal was we would wear those at graduation.
Oh, okay.
Right? We were all wearing stolen bowling shoes. The bowling balls got put in various lockers at the school. And I don't remember how that panned out, but I'm pretty sure somebody took the fall for that and the rest of us were okay.
What's funny is that I doubt the bowling alley even noticed about the bowling balls. They probably noticed the shoes.
Yeah, they probably noticed they're short on shoes. Yeah. Exactly. I think there were so many balls, they were just like, what? Something's missing. Yeah. We don't know. So anyway, and we never got in trouble for that. But here's what we did get in trouble for. This, I don't know, last week of school, we had this stupid idea. I still can't believe we did this. We loaded a truck, one of our friends' trucks, full of sand. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, sand bags.
Okay.
So they're bags full of sand that you would normally use for like flooding and stuff. And our school was a cylinder. It was a round disc. It's no longer there. They tore it down and put in a new one. And it's normal. But this one had these circular halls. In fact, our song had this whole line in it about within these circled halls. It's real stupid. But anyway, the reason that that's interesting in the story's case is we had very few staircases of any kind. It was all either slow ramps to the next level, or it was in a circle. And so all he had to do, and we did this right before school opened. We were trying to make sure nobody saw it. We backed the truck up through where normally the food comes in for the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
But we just kept backing it up through this very wide hall that had no stairs. And that took us right up to locker space.
Okay.
And then we took enough of the sandbags to make a perimeter around a bunch of lockers. Uh-huh. And then... In where we had made a perimeter, we dumped the rest of the sand in there, made a beach on the floor of the thing. And then we all tore off our shirts and we all had just, you know, swimming trunks on.
Yeah.
Everybody was
just
in
relaxing
on
the sand.
Yeah. And my buddy Dan had a blender in his locker. So he took that out and he was making like margaritas without any alcohol. As if we're not in big enough trouble already. We may as well have done it all.
Oh gosh,
And I'm like, this is not going to, as we're doing it, I'm like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. We're in huge trouble. He's like, we're seniors. What are they going to do? We're out of here in like a month anyway. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, man. Well, whatever. I guess I'll participate anyway because this is cool. And so we did. And when we played, I don't remember the music we played, but we had music playing. So all the teachers could do was come out of their stuff or arrive at the school, walk down the hall, look at us, shake their head, and then they told the principal, and then we got all busted, and we had to clean it for days. It was so stupid. We didn't get to suspend it or anything, though. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we felt like we had done the ultimate prank. We thought maybe somebody had done something cooler at the school, and we just never heard about it. But that was, at the time anyway, was pretty legendary.
That feels pretty legendary. Yeah, HD even went to Olympus 1 year after you, or 1 year behind you, and he even heard about it at his school.
Awesome. That is good to hear, because I never really heard how far it went out. I knew it was a big deal in our own school, but like somebody at Hillcrest once told me they heard about it, but that was years ago.
Yeah.
Hillcrest was like they were our diabolical enemy. We hated them.
Was it really like your arch enemy school? Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Was that what your
rival?
Did you have that? Was it the one?
Yeah, Pomona. Pomona was, we had Arvada West. So we were Arvada High School. We had Arvada West, which right now is just a mile down the road for me. And then Pomona were our two rivals. And,
was it mostly like sports stuff or just in general?
Yeah,
or?
Just in sports stuff. Okay. Yeah, but obviously that carried through. Oh, you go to Pomona? You're one of our rivals.
Yeah, it wasn't Highland HD. It was Brighton. Brighton High School is where I went.
Okay.
And I thought we were in bigger trouble. It was not nearly as much punishment. I think they were just like, they had it with the class of 87, for real. They were just like, oh, whatever. Just have them clean it up. Get them out of here. I like the group coming up or something. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
But now I checked with them, and Alta and Skyline are the big rivals. So it changes. So,
really? Interesting. Yeah. I wonder what makes that change. I guess probably how the teams do that year, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think their divisions get a little bit, you know, scrambled or whatever. They change schools. I don't know. High school's weird, man. It's a weird time.
Hey, speaking of sports, hey, the Denver Nuggets last night clinched or won the Western Conference Finals for the first time ever in franchise history and are going to the finals.
Despite that insane game.
Yes, sweep. A sweep against the Lakers.
I don't believe it.
four games. Bam, 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 bam.
And what's his name? Had the best first half of his career. Well, I can't think of his name.
LeBron.
LeBron James had the best first half of his entire career. And you guys still swept him.
And we still stomped him. Yeah.
I blame the rest of the LA Lakers for that.
I think so, exactly. Not pulling their weight, for sure.
No, that's great, though. Yeah. Grats. You're going to, well, at the very least, you're going to have a bunch of freak shows in the streets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, once again, Colorado Mammoth making it to the finals and going to get overshadowed by another one of our local sports teams, our bigger of the big four sports teams that's going to be like, hey.
Yep.
Did you hear about that's great about the Mammoth, but did you hear about the Nuggets?
Have you guys, has the state ever had one of those years where all of the majors sports are the winners that year? No?
Okay. No, that'd be great, but no, we've had, trying to think if we've, of the big four, if we've even ever had two that like, you know, World Series and, Avs or something like that, or Broncos and Avs. No, I can't think of that. That would have to be who it'd be, right? Because this is the first time the Nuggets have made it to the finals, and it's been forever since the Rockies were good.
Been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a building decade.
It's right. Exactly. It's a rebuilding year.
That's right. Here's an unfair firing that we're going to report on.
Okay. All right.
Weather anchor says she was fired over her curly hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So she wasn't wearing pants.
Yeah. Oh, I see where you went with that.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I see where
you went with that. Weekend weather reporter claims she was fired from her on-air job in Knoxville, Tennessee. There's a Tennessee story for you.
Yeah, here you go.
This is at a TV station because of her physical appearance on air, including having hair that her manager said was too curly. Tabitha Bartow worked at WATE. Wait.
Wait.
Wait. They need an N in there, and then I'm all in.
Yeah.
This is an ABC station in Knoxville. Since February, her first job out of college. Soon after she started, she repeatedly clashed with the station's management over her appearance. She told the Knoxville News Sentinel. Did you ever go there?
I did totally go to the Knoxville News Sentinel, yes.
Yeah? Anything cool there? Anything unique happen? No.
I don't remember anything about Knoxville.
Knoxville's cool, right? It's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's nice.
Fun.
I mean, I like Tennessee, Kentucky. I like those... those states, just for the, you know, the food and the the mountains,
good people and all that. Yeah,
got the great Smoky Mountains on one side.
Just because you have terrible state representatives and senators doesn't mean the rest of your state's not cool.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I got all kinds of PUDs over here, but I love Utah. Anyway, it says in one early appointment with the station's hairstylist, Bartow said that she was asked about getting her hair relaxed. Is that what they say? That's weird.
Yeah, get your hair relaxed.
Never heard of that before. With one person reportedly telling her, quote, if you straighten your hair, the curl will just fall out over time. That's what we're looking for, unquote. But in her subsequent appointment, management told the stylist to make Bartow's curls more defined, according to the Sentinel. Anyway, this all culminated in her firing. Here's a picture of the lady. She seems fine. I don't understand.
Yeah, here's a picture of her with curly hair, too, if you want.
Is there more on that?
Discord. Yep.
Let me pull it up. There you go. There. Oh, yeah. See, what's wrong with this?
Nothing is wrong with that.
Look, chat. Look at her.
I mean, she, other than the fact that she looks like she's 14, how can anyone be 14 years old and be a meteorologist? It's crazy.
That's right.
Or anchor, I guess.
It's like, I'm going to the Katy Perry concert. Also, there's a cold front coming in. I don't know. I don't know what 14-year-olds do. I don't know what they're up to.
And they barely go to Katy Perry concerts. I think you're exactly right.
You think I was on? Okay. That wasn't just me making that up. That's good. Let's go down to Florida. Let's stay in the South.
Sure.
Florida. Florida researcher is going to break the world record for living underwater. This is on track to happen. An underwater researcher on track to break a world record for the longest time spent living underwater. Retired U.S. Navy officer, or commander rather, Joseph DeTuri. I believe is the correct way of saying his name, who holds a doctorate in biomedical engineering and teaches hyperbaric medicine. Hyperbaric, I guess that's when that's underwater medicine, right? Like,
Hyperbaric is like those chambers that people get in and float.
Hyperbaric chamber.
No, they're the frozen ones, right? Like the, isn't that hyperbaric? Isn't that like the...
Not like cryo.
Is it pressure? Okay, pressure chamber? Okay.
Hyperbaric chamber. But it's not like the ones where you're all your sound and sight and...
No, what do they call that? Sensory deprivation tank. Different from a sensory deprivation tank.
I want to do
so pressure, high pressure chamber.
Do you ever want to do one? I kind of want to do a sensory deprivation
tank. Oh, I do totally want to do one of those, yeah.
Does anyone know of like a... I don't know. Is there a thing around here? Like around town? I guess
there's there definitely is. Go to Groupon. You'll find them. They always have coupons on Groupon.
Would you worry? I know you get a little claustrophobic sometimes. Would that bug you to be in there?
They feel big enough that I wouldn't get that. I'd more worry about turning into the guy from Altered States.
Oh, deep cut. Yeah. Oh, man.
Speaking of aha.
Yeah, right? Oh, man.
Yeah, we should watch that. I don't know why we haven't watched Altered States for FilmSec. That needs to be on our list.
That's an egregious miss there.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I screwed up last FilmSec. Somebody said, our next movie is Mission Impossible 3. And I went,
right.
Oh, I love that one. John Woo directed it. It's all got all the slow motion and doves. And nobody corrected me. But that is 2, not 3. I don't know why I get 2 and 3
really?
Mixed up.
3, okay. Who directed 3? Do you remember?
3 is J.J. Abrams.
Gotcha.
And he has Felicity in it because that's a rule. and she's great.
We've been watching Felicity in a thing, and I won't say what it is, but it's very good.
Real? Oh, yeah. I know what it is. I bet I know what it is.
It's a Netflix thing. Because it's brand new, so it's pretty sure you know exactly what it is.
Hearing good things about that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
God, she's great. And freaking Rufus Sewell.
Dude, I could watch him read a book. I could watch him change his clothes. He could sit and pick his nose and I'd be happy. I love that guy.
I still recommend you check out Kaleidoscope on Netflix. 8-part series about a heist with Giancarlo Esposito. And that's a dumb gimmick about, you can watch these in any order and it still tells the story. That's all dumb. Forget that. Just watch it because it's it's a good story.
Will it just play for me the way it's supposed to, or do I have to do anything?
No, it'll still shuffle them, but...
Okay,
that's fine. But
he's in that, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Rufus Sewell and Giancarlo Esposito kind of button heads, and those are two great guys to have butt heads.
He can do no wrong for me. Rufus Sewell was so good in that... forgot the Man in the High Tower.
Oh, and, yeah, yeah. Oh,
he was. Geez. He's my favorite thing about Dark City. I love Dark City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, let's go find all the Rufus Sewell we can eat.
All the Rufus Sewell.
Such an interesting actor, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, sad day though for Ray Stevenson. That was sad. Died yesterday.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Only 58. It's a little too young.
Celebrate by watching RRR.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was in that. I know you've talked about the movie, but I didn't know he was in that. And then he's the backbone of Rome. I loved Rome back in the day.
Oh, really? Never saw Rome.
Oh, it was great. He was great.
I'm about to finish season 4 of The Wire, even though that has nothing to do with Ray Stevenson or Rufus Sewell, but it finally opens it up for me to binge something else like Succession or Barry or Rick and Morty's new season, something.
Barry, I gotta get on Barry. I hear Barry's great this year.
Gotta get on Barry.
Barry's never bad, but I'm hearing great things. And if one more people comes to me and says, why aren't you watching Succession?
Oh yeah.
And I've seen the first season. I just am not caught up. I'm tired of all you telling me. I will do it. Okay. I'll get to it. Also, let me register a complaint. Today, I think, is the official day. Is it today? Maybe it's the 25th. Where
the
HBO 25th Max
is the official.
Is that it? Okay. Oh. So,
if you're talking about Star Wars,
no. I'm talking about they're changing HBO Max to Max.
To Max. Today is the day.
Is today that day? Okay.
Today is Max. Yeah, Max day.
Imagine if Disney changed their service to just call it Plus, and said Plus, the home of Disney programming.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Didn't it start because they had some Cinemax stuff on? No, I guess not. Right? It was always separate from Cinemax because HBO and
They don't own that. I don't think HBO. Who owns Cinemax? Maybe they do. Actually, I don't know that. I shouldn't say.
But
But if they own them, then maybe you could make a connection. But I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
But they the branding is so weird to me. It's like that's the brand.
Yeah.
You're taking the thing, the prestige name, also called Home Box Office.
Right.
Home. Right. It says Home. In there, right,
but box office implies movies, and they're much more, you know, they're much more shows than movies.
Well, that's a good
know,
point. So. That's a good point. But they're so known for like prestige, some of the best television in the history of the medium.
Yeah,
and you're taking their name out and putting something.
And you're taking
else.
their most significant part of their branding, the HBO part of their branding. Yeah, it's not HBO anymore. It's TV.
Hey guys, sorry, no more no more the morning stream. It's now just stream.
Just stream.
Yeah.
But the and Disney, you know, they may not be just dropping their animated plus, but they're doing a thing where it's like, if you subscribe to both Disney Plus and Hulu, you'll get all your Disney, all your Hulu stuff in the Disney Plus app now.
Right.
But you still need to subscribe separately to Hulu to get all your Hulu stuff in Disney.
That's also weird. All of the streaming the streaming retraction that's going on right now is all very strange.
Yeah,
I don't like it. It makes me nervous.
Yeah,
but whatever. It's been an embarrassment of riches for a while. Maybe it needs a little recession. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's going to do it for today's news.
Okay.
We are now going to take a break. When we come back, some time with Bill and Bobby. It's your usual Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah.
We can't do any of that though without music. So Brian, what'd you bring?
No, you got to have your music. All right. So if you're a fan of like Matthew Sweet, that kind of style of 90s indie rock, you're definitely going to like this band, Setting Sun. This is their sixth full-length EP, self-produced. Just came out, called The Feelings Cure. The Feelings? Hello, The Cure. This is the first single from the album. It's called Good Die Young. Get ready for some sweet New York-style indie rock.
Roberto is thinking, it's none of your stinking business where I'm going, Margarita. Roberto is very bored with this conversation.
This is an unhappy beanie.
The Morning Stream.
Just doing it again. Damn it. Why does it do that? It's only once in a while. It's going to irritate the hell out of me. Hey, that was great, Brian. Who was that band again so I know who to find later?
Yeah, from their brand new album, The Feelings Cure. That is The Setting Sun and a song called, I want to put Only the Good Die Young. It's just called Good Die Young. Not Only the, just Good Die Young.
Just The Good Die Young.
Not a Billy Joel cover.
No.
No.
But The Good Do Die Young. I don't like it.
It's true.
A lot of real a-holes out there just living, you know?
Just living forever.
Just forever. Yeah. And some of them, well, never mind. I might get into that. I'm going to throw myself a rope here. All right.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
We
good.
Are going to bring Bill in if I can remember how to do it. Here it is. We didn't have him last week, so it'll be nice to reconnect with the old feller somewhere.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Hey, look, it's that old feller, Bill Duran, joining us on a Tuesday to talk about making and making things and all that fun stuff. Bill, welcome back. Hello.
Bill.
Hello. He might be muted,
he's
Bill.
He's in the call, but he's might be muted.
Muted. Yes. Wrong microphone, perhaps?
Press all the buttons until we can hear you. Could, all the buttons.
Could be anything, really. Could be faulty.
There it is.
Oh, there you go. Hello.
Good deal.
Hi. How are you?
It was an unplug and plug back in situation.
Ah, we all have those occasionally, but it's nice to have you back. How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You had a little extra time away from TMS, probably busy making something rad.
Yeah, well, if I'm honest, I've been playing an awful lot of that new Zelda game. Breath of the Wild 2.0.
How far are you? And by that, I mean, are you still tinkering like a weirdo like everyone else, or are you actually progressing in the story? How's it going?
I'm tinkering, and that's what I'd like to talk about today.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Great. Let's do it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously, video games, for my creative career, video games have been my muse. And this one is a good one. This is the kind of game where you play it, and it makes you want to build stuff in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been getting lots of ideas, and I want to talk about those ideas. I want to give you a glimpse into my mind when I'm going through these games.
All right.
But I don't want to start with the disclaimer. I'm gonna talk about some ideas I've been brainstorming, but this does not in any way commit me to making any of this stuff. So don't sure. I don't want to hear people asking me when I'm gonna build all this stuff.
You want
it's just
to
not
weld?
Gonna happen.
You want to weld a mining cart to a shield so you can use it as a skateboard? I know. I'm sure.
Yeah. And also, please feel free to take any of the ideas and run with them. I will not have enough time to make all this stuff.
Okay.
The first obvious thing is props and costumes. This game, so many other games, are full of a wide arrangement of especially costumes in this game because you have all the different sets of armor. There's new ones, there's old ones, there's cosmetic ones to find down in the Underdark or whatever they're calling it. And then the weapons, there's a lot of cool weapons, and you can stick weapons to other weapons, which is also fun, which, again, opens the world of possibilities for things to make. In fact, you can make some real-world props, hand prop-sized, one-for-one things, and then make it so you can stick them together. You can be running around with Dragon Con with a whole bunch of different things, different arrangements that you could set up, and I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, it would
be really cool.
You think you're going to see a lot of that this year, like a cosplay?
Oh, I bet we are.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet you do too.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be cool.
And of course, we have a new race. We have the Zonai, our buddy Rauru that we meet early on.
It's new space goats. Yeah,
new space goats. Absolutely. I don't think I'll be making that as a costume, especially the hair. It's just. It would be hard to fit that in my suitcase. But again, I bet someone's going to make that guy as a costume and it would be extraordinary.
Yeah.
But props and costumes aside, there's a bunch of other really crazy cool stuff I'd love to build. And this game has so many wacky things. First of all, I'm sure someone's actually done this before, but I had the idea to make Link on his glider. You know, you spend lots of time flying around on his glider.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Build that as a drone. There's a little drone. You can fly your own Link around, right?
Yeah. Yes. Why not? Yes.
With that's him dangling so cool. there? Yeah.
I love the look of that glider, too. I love flying around on a glider.
Yeah, me too. I spend about 50% of my time in the air.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's the only way to get around, too, especially when you get shot way up in the air and you can just fly wherever you want. Yeah. And not only that, people are finding really clever ways to shoot yourself up in the air with all the different Zonai devices.
Right, a rocket attached to a shield or...
Sure, or a rocket attached to a Korok.
Uh-huh.
Those poor little guys have endured a lot of abuse. I also found out you can use a Korok as a platform for your vehicle. You can just stand on him.
And really?
You can use them as building devices. I've seen people collecting many Koroks and sticking them together. Using them in fun and creative ways.
Yeah, they kind of it's a kind of a torture simulator for the poor things.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They're durable. They're fine.
Yeah, they're okay.
So there's this whole crafting system in the game, and it is the thing that has really sparked a lot of ideas for me and many, many other people. In fact, there's a subreddit called Hyrule Engineering that is where all the craziest ideas are. I'll drop a link in Discord for you there.
Oh my God. So it's like combine all the things you can combine to make cool things.
Oh, and people are going insane. Like, I really need to get more battery slots for my dude because I don't have enough power to power these things. People are building, they're like recreating Metal Gear in this game, like full size mechs that shoot lasers and cannons and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want ideas, go through that subreddit and just see a bunch of the crazy stuff people are making. This guy made a boat that has a laser that shoots all the fish and then a scooper to scoop them all up. You just drive around in a lake.
Wow.
Just murdering all the fish and then scooping them all up.
So how the energy system in the game, it's like a little battery thing.
Yeah.
How do you maximize? Is there a way to maximize that more than I see it? Because that's the one downside. It feels like they're always running out of power, the stuff.
Yeah. You have to collect a ton of the Zonite metal. And then you have to turn that in for crystallized charges. And then you have to turn those in to get more batteries.
Wow.
It's a little convoluted, but I'm working on it. I don't have enough. I need more.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time down in the gloomy underside.
Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff here. Holy crap, this Reddit is amazing.
It's bananas. So the one you're playing there, the guy used a fan and the recall thing just to be a cheap way to launch himself way up in the air. So clever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this got me thinking, someone else should do this. I'm not going to do it. I don't have enough time. What if you built a little scale set of all these pieces that you could 3D print and put magnets in to have like a little toy set to maybe build your own things?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Love that.
So like a couple of fans and a then some wheels and
some wood.
Wood, little wood plank platform thing.
Oh, and, totally.
Maybe Nintendo will steal your idea. You never know.
Go for it. Yeah. I'd be happy. I had the same thought about Astroneer. I would love to have a little toy set of all the vehicles in Astroneer that you can snap together because it's so modular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So happy.
Wow.
All the little storage platforms and things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally. All the little materials, print out a bunch of little tiny
resins and
and you can magnet
compounds.
Them all. Yeah. That'd be so good. That one, and I would love to build that's been on my list for forever since I first played Astroneer, is an RC rover that I could then stick little things to.
Dude, this is great. I want, why don't you, this should be one of your things. Print a thing, show that it works. Nintendo will call you, I'm sure, and say, Bill, let's get together, right? You live there in Washington, the Nintendo of America.
I've been there.
Yeah, you know all of me, and you know some people.
I have friends there. I have an in.
All right, we're done deal, everybody. Watch for this hot new line of Nintendo toys. They're going to bring them to real life.
Oh, yeah.
Coming soon.
So I mentioned the Koroks. So there's the Koroks with little backpacks that they can't move because their backpacks are so heavy. Mm-hmm. And I think they're hysterical. I love that you got to bring them to their friend.
Help me. My friend is over there. Help!
Yeah, the fun, creative ways people are using and I've been using to get them over there. I like to just stick them to the harness on my horse, just drag them there. That seems to be the fastest way. Just going oof the whole time. Or put one on a wheel. He didn't like that, but it got us there.
No. Just rotates and
just oof the whole time. Oh my god,
hilarious!
But I would love to build a full size one of those guys, inflatable, like an inflatable balloon sort of thing with a weight on the bottom, so he's kind of like a Weeble Wobble. Mm-hmm. Just leave a couple of those around Dragon Con for people to just bounce around and kick around and.
Get them to their friends.
Get them to their friends. I figure you could sew like an outer pouch for it, a lightweight outer pouch, and then just blow up a balloon or a beach ball inside of them there, and have yourself your own inflatable Korok.
You should do it.
Amazing.
Why don't you should be the guy at Dragon Con to do it?
That's a maybe. We'll see.
Yeah,
I'm not sewing is kind of my Achilles heel.
Oh yeah.
But and then my last idea here, there's the Zonai constructs, and I think those would make extraordinary puppets. The sort of mechanical dudes you have to fight, or sometimes there's nice ones you can talk to.
Yes. Oh yeah, that it's like they expand out with their long necks and stuff. Yeah.
It would be a really difficult costume because they have so much negative space and they don't have legs. Mm-hmm. But I think as a puppet, that would be so
cool. That would look really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So these, I am now releasing these ideas into the public domain.
Yep. The word's out now. So
no need to pay Bill. Just maybe give him a little bit of credit for the idea. Just say, hey, this is inspired by a dude on a show.
Absolutely. More importantly, if you do make anything like this or anything from the new Zelda game, just tweet them at me. I just want to see these ideas.
Yeah. And this Reddit, do go, everybody. It's Hyrule Engineering. And this subreddit is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, the one you're playing right now, I had so much trouble fighting those guys with swords and stuff. Yeah. This guy is a flying mech raining laser hellfire from the sky. That was a much better way to do it.
Yeah, that's the way. See, that's what's crazy is the game has no set solutions. That's so impressive to me. So few games let you do that where there is progression, but... And you'll think your idea is janky, right? You'll go, this isn't going to work. But then it does, and you're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Freaking, I made it. Bill, always cool stuff from you. Very inspirational. Do you have a bonus link for us this week?
I do. This is a new YouTube channel to me. This is a guy out of the UK. He has a channel called New Yorkshire Workshop, and he is a carpenter. This specific video, he's building a plywood sink basin for his own house. He's got this ancient house in the UK that he's been updating. And building things out of plywood is really cool because it's so accessible. And he's made this really gorgeous sink out of it.
Oh, yeah. Look at all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. You know what he's doing here? He's making a... what is this? New Yorkshire. Okay, making a 13,000 euro or pound table, I guess. Turntable. Is this for like a record table? Hold on.
I think it's for lathing, right? Or maybe not.
Is it? Hold on. No, it's an actual record player.
It is an actual record player.
He's making this. Wow. Oh, what? Look at that beautiful thing.
Uh-huh. All out of plywood and like a fancy veneer, it looks like.
Wow. Huh. Some chrome stuff. Okay, well, he's next level, this guy. Jeez. Mm-hmm. Jeez Louises. All right. Wow. Can use that guy when the zombies come. Hey, Bill, it's been nothing but pleasure to have you on as usual. People need to check out punishprops.com if they haven't already and subscribe to your YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday.
All righty. See you guys.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
Bye now, Bill.
Bye. Bye.
All right. I have word.
Putting that link up for folks who visit quicktms.li.
Very nice. I do like that sigh. All right, let's do some of this.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Oh, it went quiet for some reason. I got to figure out what's going on with this thing.
You're having so much fun with the new Farragut.
Yeah, it's working great. Hey, Bobby Frankenberger, welcome back to the show, and let's do some science. What do you say about that?
I say that's amazing. You know, I, too, have been playing a lot of Zelda.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noticing it on your B-reel.
Yeah. Because that's usually what I'm doing when it pops up because I'm playing it all the time. So I wanted to talk to you about the elemental properties of choo-choo jelly.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Is that even a thing? Is that really a thing in the game, choo-choo
jelly? That's really a thing, choo-choo jelly. Yeah.
Man.
You know, choo-choos, they've been in the game forever. Yeah. The little slime blob things that jump around.
Sure. I don't have the game yet, but I've been watching my daughter play it. And the reason I don't have it yet, I told Brian this already, but normally I'd be right on this, but I have 5 copies floating around my household. My 3 kids plus 2 others that I know of are all in and out of here with that game all the time.
Really?
Someone's going to fall off of it. Someone's going to get bored. Someone's going to not finish. Someone's going to have to go on a trip, and I'm going to take their cartridge. That's how that's going to work.
I wanted to play. I love Zelda. It's my favorite franchise of all time. I wanted to be able to play it so bad. We almost bought 2 here because my daughter is really into it as well. And we bought physical ones because we have more than one Switch, you know? Mm. or we bought the one physical chip because of having more than one Switch, and I almost bought two so that I would not, so I would not have to take turns.
Yeah, see, this is the problem. Does it do the saves locally, and then when they run it, the saves aren't on the cartridge, right? That's
no,
it's
no,
independent no. from the thing. Okay,
stored locally. Yeah.
So I just need one of my kids to just get sick of it or something. Problem is, the game's so good, they're not. I mean, good luck having the most highly rated video game of all time and have my kids get sick of it. Damn
and
it.
And so massive that, you know, they're, you know, even if they get tired of completing challenges or quests or anything like that, there is so much just exploration that they can do.
Yeah, I should just get it. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't even know why it's that big a deal. And it's $70, it's not cheap, but knowing there are five expensive. Of them floating around, it's just like, why am I doing this? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's probably not what you brought with you today. What did you really bring? What are you doing?
I wanted to talk to you about diapers and concrete.
Sweet.
Okay, I'll see ya.
Yep. Bye. Bye, everyone. that sounds great. How are those two connected, I wonder?
So there's a research team. Well, the choo-choo jelly, yeah. Hylian bass, I don't know. Sizzle fin trout. There's a research team in Japan that's reporting that they've used diapers to incorporate it into concrete without reducing its structural integrity at all. So a way to recycle used diapers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but won't there be a problem later where it's like
a smell?
Yeah, what's wrong with your house? It smells weird. You know what I mean? Or have they figured that part out?
What's wrong with your M&M store? Why does it smell like a baby's diaper?
Yeah, that's really what's going on over there. So finding ways to make concrete more environmentally friendly that's been a huge goal people have had for decades, right? Because concrete is not great for the environment. It's an amazing amazing material. Mm. To use for construction. It's enabled us to, some would argue that it was one of the factors that made the Roman Empire so successful is concrete, or at least why things have lasted for as long as they have. And we've only improved upon the concrete in small ways since then, right?
Yeah.
But the process of making concrete puts a ton of CO2 into the atmosphere.
I didn't know that. Why is that exactly? I didn't realize that was a thing.
Well, concrete is concrete is made up of two main parts. You've got the cement. Many people don't know that cement and concrete are different things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cement is one of the components of concrete. The other stuff is the aggregate, which is, so basically concrete is just a bunch of, if you really want to simplify it, it's just a bunch of small rocks like being rocks held together with concrete. Yeah. So concrete is, it's held together with cement. Got to use my terms correctly.
Sure.
But the cement itself, the process of making that, it's a chemical process. The main components of cement are lime and clay, and you increase the heat of those, you heat those up to thousands of degrees, and it chemically changes them, and just that chemical reaction and the heating up and that whole process just releases a bunch of CO2 into the atmosphere. It's one of the byproducts of the chemical reaction that's going on.
Interesting. Okay.
So the whole process is just very exothermic and puts a lot of CO2 into the atmosphere. It's one of the major contributors, I think, to how much carbon we have in the atmosphere, actually. So it's a big thing, a big problem that people want to solve. And so even the UN a few decades ago sort of like laid down some suggested building codes to have concrete have less environmental impact and also to decrease its cost, which is kind of illustrates the like competing issues with concrete. The one, that it's bad for the environment, and two, that it's very good for like architecture and construction and everything. The reason they wanted to decrease the cost of producing concrete is because a lot of developing nations who want to, it would benefit them to have low cost building materials like concrete that are easy to make, you know.
Sure, that makes sense. And we use a lot of that, right? Because concrete is like I don't know what to compare this to any other era of humanity, but it's like the very foundation, for lack of a better term, of how we build everything today?
I mean, quite literally.
Basic building block. Yes.
Yeah, it's like literally foundation.
The foundation in your home is made of concrete, almost certainly.
Yeah. I guess I've never really had to think about how it was made. Or you know,
And it's been made that way forever. The Romans developed this lime and clay process, right? Ancient Romans,
sure.
And but it's not great for the environment anyway. So the idea is if you can find a way to either cut down on the footprint of concrete on the environment, or you can use the process of making concrete as a means to, you know, recycle something else, then that helps to benefit overall. There's so much concrete that is used. Wouldn't it be great if you could use one of the materials in the concrete as a recycled material? So I guess, I'm just speculating here, but I guess that's why they decided to try diapers? I don't...
Well, it's a renewal.
I read it more as just a way of recycling diapers or using diapers that, you know, it doesn't help, it doesn't reduce what it takes to produce concrete, but it makes you use less concrete because you're supplementing with diapers. And so that's the offset.
Well, it reduces the amount of aggregate because the diapers that you're using are replacing the aggregate. So you're
holding,
really
you're holding the diapers together instead of gravel.
Yeah, no, it's time to like two birds, one stone though, right? Because we're going to keep pooping out the diapers and we're going to need the concrete. If you can figure out a way to take one horribly non-renewable thing that we throw away every day and use it in a place that is also known for, I don't know, its impact on the environment. And so that would be less. Yeah, why not? Why not combine?
Exactly, because diapers, disposable diapers also are something that are filling up landfills, right?
Yeah.
So they did this in Japan. The whole process is they first, to answer your initial jokey question, they sanitize the diapers.
Okay.
They put it in like a high concentration solution of sodium chloride, which is just a fancy way of saying salt. It's a very briny solution they put it in. I guess that kills all the bacteria. Then they dry out them and then they shred them up and then throw them into the concrete mixture.
Okay.
And they found that they were able to use as much, they were able to replace as much as 10% of the aggregate in the concrete that's used for structural components, like in roads or load bearing walls. They could replace as much as 10% without compromising the integrity of the concrete. And for non-structural concrete, so things for like non-load bearing walls or like cement pavers on the ground or something like that, they could do as much as 40% of that.
Oh, wow.
And not compromise the integrity of the concrete itself.
Wow. So I like this. This is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Here's a practical question, though. Now you got to figure out how to get all the diapers and separate them from everything else. Do you...
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So what's that look like? Like, do we have to...
Like, do they just send people into landfills to go pick out the diapers?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know how you sift through the existing stuff or even have a plan for the future where everyone is... I don't know. There are new cans that everybody tosses them in. Then you start talking about huge costs and tax dollar stuff. And
you know, that's really smart, Scott. You have the right brain for that because these are what are called like externalized costs,
right?
That are not directly related, but other externalized costs that contribute to like what does the end to end process look like?
Right.
Because if you have to create, you know, drop, you know, because it's not unreasonable to think that people would be able to hold on to these dirty diapers and then drop them somewhere because, you know, you've got like diaper pails. If you've ever had kids and you've got grandkids now, so like you don't just throw it into your trash anymore. I mean, you can, but most people usually get these like diaper genies or some trash can that is designated for dirty diapers.
Right.
So you've already got them.
Yeah.
Right. So you've already got them. That's exactly what they look. That is the perfect description. But that is that you've already got them sort of segregated from your regular trash. So it's not unreasonable to think you could just easily dump them into these drop boxes. But like you said, Scott, if that's going to create, you're going to have to build an infrastructure, drop points for these things. Then maybe people have to drive trucks to go pick them up. Like, is that going to cause more trucks on the road? Like, all sorts of, are, is scaling this up going to create, you know, like what about the sanitizing centers for these diapers and, and stuff like that? Is that going to create, is scaling it up going to create problems that kind of make this a wash? Or is it actually going to, that's where, whenever you have a new technology, that's where the rubber hits the road, rubber meets the road, is that, is when you go to scale it up.
Right.
So,
because if you suddenly had an initiative that said, all right, everybody, government funded buckets, and they're out in front, and every Tuesday, you're going to take all your diapers and put them out on the road, and then we're going to come pick them up, specialized pickups, and take them to a specific place, and then haul them all over the country. Like, the more I say those words, the more the money adds up, right? It starts to really pile up. And I don't know if they could ever go that far. So that's always this big issue of renewables. It's like, we have, on the one hand, we want everybody to have their own little plot of land, have a house or an apartment or whatever it is, and you're all doing your thing, and we haven't really thought ahead to, like, how do we automate that? Things like this, you know? So,
but what it does say to me, and I don't know how much people are, have been doing this for a long time, and the only reason we're hearing about this one is because it's funny, it's about diapers, you know, it seems funny. But what it does say is that, to me, is that, oh, well, maybe this won't work, but I'd never thought about the fact that maybe we should try a lot of different things as aggregate and concrete. You know, part of me wonders, why do they choose diapers, right? But it's, the reason I wonder that is because, well, is concrete just being like, could you just use that as a trash can, sort of like, like something, somewhere to shove something that you don't want in a landfill? Could you just shove it into concrete to, and it's still, and the concrete still be okay?
Right.
You know, so maybe this is just the, some early steps in rethinking other things that we don't want in. Like, maybe could we shred up plastic and put it into concrete as an aggregate? Would, how would that?
Yeah, because maybe we're getting to the point where you could take an entire landfill and just shred it. You know, the guts of all landfills. Like, if it's all mushed up enough, maybe the main cost is just, well, what's this weird hardware that'll do that? And what's the chemical process to run it through so it's not toxic, caustic, or otherwise whatever? And then it's just a matter of shipping it to whoever makes concrete, right?
Right. Right.
Like, that could be profitable. That could actually be a profitable thing. Like, I could see that being a moneymaker for somebody instead of a huge draw on public resources. So,
Yeah,
that sounds great. When I'm older and I got the adult diapers, I hope by then they'll be putting me in concrete. That'd be cool.
Yeah. That's what you should do, though, is you should just turn it into your adult diapers into concrete.
Yeah. I mean, that's and my plan.
Build your grandchildren a house.
Yeah. But by then we'll be 3D printing it out of. Yeah. Use diapers. That'll be the plan.
Well, likely. Yep.
Brian won't be buying filament. He'll be buying diapers.
No, I'll be buying diapers, and I'll have a filament, a diaper filament producer.
Yep.
The hot end will be your butthole.
That's right. Oh,
perfect. Yep. Perfect. Yep. Yes.
That's what you want. Well done, Bobby, as always. I love hearing stuff like this because, I don't know, I feel like this stuff doesn't ever surface in the mainstream news, you know?
Well, that's where you come in. In the science news.
That's right. So, that's where you come in and boldly go.
That's where I'm in the science news, so you don't have to be, right?
Damn straight.
Perfect.
Speaking of which, let's tell people where your cool science podcast is and what you guys are talking about this week.
We have a podcast called All Around Science. My co-host Maura and I talk about just whatever we find interesting in science that week. And this past one, the one that just came out yesterday, we talked about, speaking of plastics, I did a whole feature on microplastics and what they are. But in terms of, because there's some news that came out, some research that was done on a recycling plant, like a plastic recycling plant, where they found out that while you might be recycling the plastic in that plant, it turns out that plant might be spewing so much millions and billions of pounds of microplastics into the environment.
I don't like that.
No,
That's not good.
Not something that we really planned for or thought ahead about. And Mora on the show makes the comparison that microplastics really might be the lead of our generation, of our sure. current time, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting way of looking at it. It's the asbestos yeah. of 2023.
Exactly. Right. Because yeah. it's so obviously so tiny. That,
yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Another good comparison. Something that lead and asbestos, okay. both materials that were like really huge boons, material science advances mm-hmm. that were like, yay, this is amazing. And then we don't find out until it's fully incorporated into our environment. How bad it is.
Yeah. 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 Hopefully we're smarter about that moving forward. Do you know if this stuff floating off of Canada is anything I should worry about? Is it all just trees and shit? Or do we know what's burning up there?
It's definitely poutine? Trees. And yeah. I actually have been asking Mora a lot about that because those fires are very close to where she lives.
Oh, right. Geez.
Like very, very close. Like I'm checking in as often as I can to be like, you're not on fire yet, are you? Because that's, I hope you are not. Like that's how close it is that I'm worried God. About it daily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd like her not to be on fire. If we can help that'd be great. Yeah. Well, all right then. More over there, All Around Science. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Bobby, a pleasure has been ours by having you here.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know if you felt it too, but we felt the play. Damn it, Discord, you did the thing again. Hold on. Freaking yeah. Discord.
I'm still here. You can't.
Why does
me.
It do that? It sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. I don't understand. All right. Oh,
science.
There. I kicked him out. Finally, it kicks him out, but it reboots everything. That doesn't make any sense.
Of course.
Bastard thing. Oh, maybe it's the days I set it to another region that it doesn't do it.
Oh, right.
Because it's always Bobby in the South or something.
Yeah.
All right. I may have learned something there.
That's an interesting correlation.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's find out if it is also causation. We'll do that off air.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to do it for today's show, except I do have a text I want to read real quick and a quick reminder. The text goes like this. This is from Infected Mind. He says, in episode 2449, the first week of April, I'm behind and listening. You talked about liking women versus men doctors. I think that was me in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My hypothesis is that is the reason some people, guys and or guys presenting, may like them better is that they may perceive them to be more compassionate than men due to the many older generation of men growing up not allowed to have feelings. I've thought about that, but I wasn't raised that way.
You're not right. You're not... You grew up in a family that was compassionate regardless of gender. Your yeah. dad was just as compassionate as your mom was.
Yeah, maybe even more so than my mom. Mm-hmm. No offense, mom, mm-hmm. but maybe a little bit more. I don't think in this case, I'm not saying this isn't sometimes the case for some people, but I think in my case, it's not that. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't, somebody also wrote and said, maybe it's because you just, I don't think you're much of a homophobe, but maybe you got just a little bit of a nervousness about the homophobe business.
I don't want a man doctor touching my penis.
You know, like kind of a George getting a massage sure. kind of problem. I don't think that's it either. It's not even like it repels me. It's just.
Sure. Sure.
Is it a lady? Cool. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel this way about dentistry, but maybe that's because I've never seen a female dentist in my life. I know they exist.
Oh,
I've
really?
Just never yeah. seen one. You know.
We had one. I was trying to think if I ever had one. Yeah, we had one when Tristan was younger. It was Perfect Smiles or someplace that was really close to our house that we went to, and and she was really good. Except she had to show. Tristan would not let you put anything into his mouth unless you showed it to him and he looked at it, got it first, right? So hold on, what do you put in my mouth? This needle to numb your gum so that we can do stuff with your teeth.
Does he still do that today? Is he still
No, he's a lot. He's completely fine from that stuff. But boy, that freaked out the dentist the first time that he put up his hands while she was coming in with a with a hypodermic needle. It was like, oh, whoa, can't do that.
Yeah, no, he was taking charge of his own life. Yeah. I like it. Well, anyway, thanks for the text, Infected Mind. If you want to send one like him, you can. 801-471-0462 is that number, or you can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Quick reminder about our Discord. Lots of fun in there. We just gave away a 1 terabyte Samsung SSD drive for free. Big thanks and courtesy of the folks over at Doghouse Systems. More of that and other smaller stuff coming. There's always something to give away. In fact, Tanner, our good pal Tanner in our community, gave away 2 copies of Breath of the Wild.
Tears of the Kingdom, yeah. Yeah.
And that was just recently as well. So if you want to be a part of that, you just join our Discord. It doesn't take anything to get in there. There's no door or password or anything weird. You just go frogpants.com/Discord. Join us today. And hang out with the community and have a good time. It's a good place to be. All right. That's going to do it for us. Without mentioning this, or I do have to mention this, patreon.com/TMS is how the show is fueled. It's how the engine runs. Without you and your occasional contributions, there is no show. So please continue that. Those who are there, and if you haven't joined yet, it's never been easier. Patreon.com/TMS. That's going to do it. Let's get out of here. Brian, you have music to play to go?
Yeah, I have songs. I have a song. Okay. By the way, Tanner now in Japan and sending photos, and I'm so freaking jealous. I wish I was there right now.
Yeah, he seems to have a good time already. So,
yeah.
Good for
him. All right. Pirate Ian wrote in and said, "Hi, Soggy and Bottom. This year I'm turning the ripe old age of 40. A pirate looks at 40, just dawned on me, and was hoping to get a song to celebrate. NoFX was a staple of my youth, and they recently did a split with Frank Turner. Anything off that would be great, but I leave the decision in your more than capable hands. Can I get a honk? Love the show, though. Pirate Ian."
I bet we can. I was just looking at that file, and I found it the other day. Hold on. It's right here.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is right there. Classic. And it's his 40th birthday, Scott. You know what that means.
Oh, that means this.
Let's party.
Happy birthday.
Perfect. Well done. So there were no covers, unfortunately, on that NoFX Frank Turner split, but I did find a NoFX cover that I haven't played on the show before. I'm really surprised. This is by a band I really like called Streetlight Manifesto. Go listen to Hammond's and my episode of Soundography all about... Oh, I'm forgetting the guy's name that's been in all these other things, and Streetlight Manifesto being one of those. Mm. Anyway, they did a cover of NoFX's Linoleum and included it on their 2010 all cover album, 99 Songs.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Oh my gosh, it did it again. Sorry, ignore that. Frick. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
No worries. Streetlight Manifesto on their 99 Songs of a Revolution album from 2010 included this cover of Linoleum by NoFX. Here it is right now.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Possessions never meant anything to me. Yeah, I'm not crazy. Well, that's not true. I've got a bed and a guitar and a dog named Babu pisses on my floor. That's right, I've got a floor. So what? So what? So what? Yeah, I've got pockets full of Kleenex and linen holes where everything important to me just seems to fall right down the leg and on to the floor. My head gives me something to believe. That's me, yeah, I'm the beachside, combing the sand. Metal meter in my hand, squirting a pocket full of change. That's me on the street with a violin under my chin, playing with a grin, singing gibberish. That's me, yeah, on the back of the bus. That's me in the cell. That's me inside your head. 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 inside your hand. That's me inside your hand.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Well, this was the zinger of all zingers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.